All right, well, I'm here with Andrew Cooperthwaite from Head, and we have a lot to talk about because you guys have a lot of new products for next year. And I think we'll just dive into the first and maybe biggest collection, which is right behind us, the new Core Skis. This seems like a big change for you guys. Maybe start with the background. How long have these updates been in the works, and kind of what were the things that you were focusing on when overhauling the Core lineup?
Yeah. So, you know, the development of our 25, 26 Core tie line really started in earnest about 3 years ago. And the way that we started the program, we identified some markers that we wanted to change within the current Core line. And we were able to use those skis and those molds in particular and change up some materials. So current 24, 25 iteration of Core is a wood core carbon layup. We replaced that carbon and started working with layers of metal or titanol in the ski in many variations. You know, traditional metal sandwich, stamped out cuts, iterations with additional layers over the edge to see if we could evoke a feel, a different feel there. A lot of different iterations of metal layups. And that kind of started the new development process before we got into wood cores and then shaping and rocker. So we started with, you know, really the most important thing was identifying where, if we were going to use metal or titanol, how did we want to use it? What thicknesses did we want to use? We were testing skis with 0.3 millimeter thickness, 0.4, 0.5, and really trying to hone in what we wanted to do and what metal could allow us to do and free up with the construction. Now with core or with Crux skis, really focused on a wood core carbon construction, reduced weight to the max in our touring line, we had a lot more freedom with core. And we know that there was a huge response to core originally when we launched it in 17-18. And there were attributes to those skis that we didn't want to lose, but there were attributes that we wanted to change: dampness, suspension, responsiveness, precision on the edge, things that Titanol afforded us to balance the skis in a much different way. And included with the Titanol was a layer of flax that we were working with. So it really started with how we could blend Titanol into the skis. One of the surprising things that we found was, and I know we've talked about this a lot with your reviews, is the current skis with the weight reduction and with the carbon layup to counter some of the negatives that carbon can bring to a ski layup. You had to make the wood core really stiff. And that can sometimes, in certain variable conditions, make a ski a little unforgiving. And what we found with the Titanol is, and the flax, is by using those materials to really promote the dampness and the suspension and the stability in the ski, we could free up the wood core to be more forgiving. So these skis, if you take them in your hand and flex them, you'll feel a softer flex evoked from the construction than you will with the current 24-25 iteration of core skis. And we wanted to make the skier more efficient in that sense, especially when skiing over variable terrain, that they weren't constantly being pushed back on the ski, that they had the ability to recover, and most importantly, that ski had the ability to eat up that terrain.
Yeah, we've started testing the whole lineup, and all of us have been very psyched on the skis so far. If someone has experience with the previous Core skis, what are the primary performance traits that you would tell them to expect, or like the differences that they should expect with the 25, 26 Core TI skis?
Yeah, I would say that the skis overall are a smoother feel underfoot, just as responsive as ever through the tail, but really precise and through the testing. So that 3 years of testing, it went through various phases. Like I talked about, the first phase was trying to dial in how we use the Titanol. It ended up being a very traditional metal sandwich construction, which always seems to work really well.
Yeah, there's a reason it's the standard.
You can go through a lot of different variations, but you always kind of come back to what works. The other important thing was the wood core materials that we used, and that came through a lot of testing. And the white skis, which you can refer to women's skis, but we purposely don't put a W on it because when we were testing the skis, the only difference between the white and the black, same presses, same molds, But the wood core material is different. Mm-hmm. So the white ski is a poplar recycled PET stringer. Mm-hmm. That PET is recycled plastic from water bottles. So we use that poplar, our pet construction in our Bolivian skis, mm-hmm. and we wanted to try it in these skis as well. So we found that the black ski with the Karuba beach core was really precise, had a tremendous amount of edge hold and responsiveness out of the tail. But this poplar recycled PET stringer brought in some nuances that weren't less performing, but it evoked a very different personality from mm-hmm. the ski. And it was so appealing that we had to find a way to utilize both cores, and that's the way we did it. The recycled PET poplar is in the white ski, and the beach Karuba is in the black ski. So in the feeling that you'll get, I think the skis are a little bit more accessible. They have a little bit more of a pronounced rocker profile in really every ski from the 80 all the way up to the 118. The 112 and the 118 are big departures from the current skis in rocker profiles. But that accessibility of being able to slide the ski into the turn if you want to, or to lay it up. We took a lot of time talking about current techniques in skiing, where someone like myself, I grew up with a race background, I'm a little bit older, I would like to work that ski from tip to tail. Mm-hmm. I would say more of the modern way of skiing, the way I see you guys ski a lot. A lot of our athletes in the movies are skiing with their feet a little bit closer together, mm-hmm. a little bit more of a centered stance, not working the ski as much from tip to tail, but really staying centered on the ski, pivoting the ski. Mm-hmm. We needed to create a feeling that both techniques could blend with these skis really well. Mm-hmm. So there's a different feel that's evoked from the current skis in that the ski feels a little smoother, a little damper. It gives you the ability to recover mm-hmm. a little easier. And I think the accessibility is really important. You can put an intermediate on a 94 and they can really enjoy themselves, get a lot of confidence out of the ski. Mm-hmm. But then you can put somebody like yourself on it and have you rip around on it all day and feel like you're not missing anything from the ski. Mm-hmm. And that blend between the wood and the metal and the flax really strikes a unique balance in the way that the skis were finished.
Yeah, I totally agree. After my time so far on the 94, the 100, the 106, the 112, and the 118, suspension definitely stands out. Accessibility stands out. I think the adaptability in terms of skiing stances, it's very accepting of mm-hmm. switching it up on the fly, yeah. Which I always appreciate. I think broad overview, the core collection includes a lot of skis, mm-hmm. and obviously like typically narrower, more firm snow-oriented, maybe a little bit more piece-friendly, wider, more power-oriented. But is there anything in particular about certain models that like this one's actually very different from the others in this one regard? Like you kind of alluded to the two widest ones, mm-hmm. but anything people should pay attention to when looking at the core series as a whole?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when the other thing that took a lot of time and it's really interesting when you look, I've in the last 3 years, I can't tell you how many skis I've tested from other brands. It's mind numbing, but it really informs you of where the market is, mm-hmm. And the nuances in skis of where rocker profiles are, in comparison to where contact points are. Those small nuances make such a difference in the skis that mm-hmm. That we really took a lot of time there. So each ski was developed unto itself. It wasn't, let's start with the 88 and then expand from there. Mm-hmm. So each ski was developed under its own. The one of the skis that stands out in my mind that really was a departure from the current collection is the current Core 99 and the new Core 100 tie. That ski, we put in a deeper rocker profile. We knew going into it that was needed. What we didn't understand was we actually needed to push the contact points further out towards the tip and the tail, where, say, on the 94, we pulled them back a little bit. Mm. And really, that was through benchmark testing with other skis in that category, and then really looking at our current ski and identifying some weaknesses there that we wanted to build on. You know, and no matter how good of a ski you build, there's always some weaknesses, there's always some areas to improve. So I think if you're comparing apples to apples from current core to the new core, I'd say that the 100, for me personally, evokes a very different feel from where the current 99 is, mm-hmm. and really positive ways.
Yeah, I was bouncing around choppy moguls on that ski the other day, and it was a blast.
Yeah. Much more versatile than the current ski, just in the conditions that you can take it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think moving now to the two widest skis in the lineup, the Core 112 Ti and the 118 Ti. You mentioned they're a little bit different from the others, but they also share a lot in common, I think, in terms of the core construction. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. I'm sure you do that all the time.
Exactly.
But yeah, tell me a bit more about kind of the what you had in mind when designing the widest two models in the series.
You know, one of the important aspects with this collection for us was doing all the prototype testing here in the U.S. and North America, and getting the skis on the snow, the native snow that it needs to be correlated to, was really eye-opening, whether it was the 106, the 112, or the 118, those soft snow skis. We took a different approach. A lot of companies will choose to remove the Tetanol construction from those skis, but we really got to spend a lot of time with those skis in deep snow and comparing them to non-metal to metal, and that shock absorption that we talked about, that forgiveness that's required in a ski that's that wide when you're skiing over variable terrain, really came into play, and we felt maybe the Tetanol added a little bit of weight to those skis, but the benefits that it created in the skis, you couldn't shy away from. And the dampness, the recovery ability, the ability for the ski to really eat up terrain as you're moving over it, was really eye-opening with those skis. And in regards to the whole lineup, and when you move towards the wider skis, obviously the rocker profile increases, but we took a really logical flex pattern to the wood core as well, where these skis, the stiffest is the 88, and then obviously we get about 10 to 12% softer in each model as you go from that 88 being that focused harder snow ski down into the real focused powder skis with the 112 and the 118. So we were able to balance the wood core flex with the layers of Tetanol. With our engineering department, they have a lot of expertise in that. You'd be surprised how much time is spent, let's say, on a slalom World Cup fist ski in relation to the bell curve of the wood core and the relation of the layers of metal and how those two pair with each other. And we can take that knowledge from our engineering standpoint, those guys are so smart, and apply it to skis like this in a different way, it really helps with the development of the product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. As we're filming this, a week ago, we got 40-plus inches in a few days.
I listened to the podcast.
Yeah, and I was telling someone earlier, I have tons of pictures of me skiing the Core 118, and you can't see it in a single one because it was that deep. But what really stood out, I think, like, everyone knows a resort pow day turns into a resort chop day at a certain point. And that ski really stood out when everything got chopped up, but you could still ski it fast because it doesn't get knocked around a bunch. It absorbs all those impacts pretty well, but still easy to throw sideways. Ski playfully if you want, but still can make stable, long, fast turns. I'm hoping that we get another storm that warrants bringing them out again, because it's a lot of fun.
You nailed it. I mean, for me, I've always found with wider skis and deeper snow, those first three or four turns, you're trying to find your position on the ski. You're trying to find your center of balance on the ski. And for me, especially with the construction of the new core and the shape, especially when you're talking about wide skis, shape is so important. Everything was very intuitive. You didn't have to spend the time finding your balance. It all comes to you very quickly, very easily, which we thought were great attributes for a wide ski.
Yeah, 100%. Sweet. So I want to, before we move on to more products, loop back to the white versus the black skis. You talked about the different constructions, the ideas behind offering those. Anything else you want to discuss in terms of if someone's deciding between going with one of the white cores or the black alternatives? You said similar shapes and rocker profiles, but how would you think about that decision?
Yeah, you know, the white ski, that wood core, it's astonishing, and you can actually take the skis in similar sizes and go and compare them and ski on them, and it's amazing how much a difference in a wood core material makes to the personality of the skis. So the white skis are really, they're very smooth. They really inspire a lot of confidence, and that intuitive nature of the ski probably comes out even a little bit more in the white ski, where that black ski is a little bit more precise in its edge hold and its responsiveness in the tail. I'd say the white ski is a little bit more even from tip to tail. You still get a responsive tail that sets you up for the next turn, but nothing that's unexpected. You know, where some of us like an explosion of power from the tail of the turn. I'd say the white ski is a little bit more predictable in that nature, but it really just evokes a different personality. It's a slightly smoother personality. It's hard to. I wish it was easier to explain without skiing on it. When you ski on it, the person comes down and their eyes are big and they're like, wow, I was not expecting that big of a difference. And that hence is the reason why we didn't put a W on there. I mean, we have people internally that are men that are exclusively skiing the white skis and are really excited about them.
Yeah, we've got multiple lengths of multiple models in both variants, so I'm really looking forward to trying both.
Yeah.